Welcome to the Life Self-Mastery Podcast, where we bring in entrepreneurs who have created online businesses and improved their lifestyles. Here's your host, Rohit Malhotra.
Hi everyone, I'm Rohit from LifeSelfMastery.com. And today I'm excited to have Lokesh Gupta, who's the product head for Office, which is a Sequoia-funded startup and India's largest co-working space provider. Lokesh has worked with Sendinblue, iXigo, and Naukri in product roles. Lokesh is the author of Product Manager's Bible, which is about to launch in a couple of weeks, and The Art of Email List Growth. Lokesh is an alumni of IIT. Welcome to the show, Lokesh.
Thanks, Rohit. I'm excited.
Yeah, so Lokesh, what made you interested in product management and product managers, especially for MBAs, product management has become a very coveted job. So, but what made you interested in product management, and how can somebody become a product manager?
Sure, Rohit. So, Rohit, I've been working in technology domain for last a decade or so, and I love building technology products. So, I started as a software developer. But eventually, I realized that my heart lies in building product end-to-end rather than just focusing on one aspect of a product, which is engineering. I also started a couple of ventures in last few years. And that's how I really liked building products from end-to-end, not only from the technology, but from a business, from a marketing, from sales perspective as well. And getting into product management is the easiest way to work across all the aspect of building a product. As a product manager, I work with a lot of different teams, be it sales team, marketing, finance, and I also like to work as an entrepreneur. So product management helps me think like an entrepreneur. So that's how I got excited about product management. And over the last couple of years, I've transitioned myself into a product management professional by working at Sendinblue or at Naukri, and now at Office. I now completely work as a product manager. I also lead a team of product managers. So that's how I got into product management. And so this is how I got into product management.
Got it. And do you think anybody can become a product manager? If you look at Indian tech ecosystem, you're looking at poor people, software engineers who are transitioning into product roles, product managers role. But if you look at US or Europe, there are a lot of people inside, they would come from different backgrounds, especially, somebody started in, done their studies in English or psychology, or also getting into product managers role. So do you think, is it only a tech guy role, tech guy who can get into product management, or do you think anybody can learn about product management and become a product manager?
Yeah, so what I feel is that anybody can become a product manager. It's not a job for a techie or technology guys, but anybody who has a knack for solving problems, who can really understand the customers and their pain points, can get into a product management. So though having a technology background helps building a technology product, but see, product management is a pretty wide field. Product management applies to not only technology products, but as well as physical products. So even a product like a juicer or a mixer or a television has a lot of product managers in those industries. So anybody with a right mindset, open mindset, and who has a knack to solve customer problems, who is ready to learn fast and apply the knowledge to solve a pain point of customer, can become a product manager.
Got it. And what does it take to build a successful product in today's environment with so much of disruption happening with new technologies coming in? So what would it take to build a very successful product?
Sure. So I think with all these technology challenges and so much noise in the market across all the fronts, so people tend to focus more on the solution rather than the problems. So if you are truly want to create a product which is used by the customers, you have to first focus on the problem. At times, new entrepreneurs or new product managers fall in love with the solution. So be it a technology solution. So for example, right now, the machine learning, artificial intelligence is a buzzword in the market, or big data. So people tend to think from those angles rather than the problem, what exactly customer wants. So if you want to really add some value to the customer and build products in this age, you have to first understand what excites people, what are their pain points, what are they really need, and not just want something. So you have to think from those lines, and then only you'll be able to build something. And so that's one part of the problem. And the next part is people take a lot of time to launch something. So things are changing very fast. So you have to shift fast. So there's a new school of thought, which is like lean startups, which has gained momentum over the last couple of years. So I come from that background. So I like to launch things very fast, keep a shorter development cycle. And once you have launched something, you learn from that experience and keep on course correcting your product. So these are some of the two things which I feel that can really help you launch a product fast and launch something useful in the market.
Got it. And so, you know, what are some of your favorite products, and, you know, how can a product manager validate their ideas?
So on a day-to-day basis, I generally use Gmail. So that's one of the best tools that I found useful to me, as well as it really helps me keep productive and connected with my friends and anybody who wants to do communication with me. So Gmail is one. I'm both on the mobile, so Google Apps and Gmail on desktop. I also use the Trello very frequently. It helps me organize myself. It's like a project management tool for me, as well as an idea dumping tool where I keep all my ideas and plans in place. And I also use LinkedIn very frequently. It helps me connect with my network. And I think we connected over in LinkedIn, and that's how we are now talking. So these are some of the tools that I really like. And professionally, I also use Jira a lot in my company. It's again a Jira product management or a project management tool that we use internally within our teams. So yeah, these are some of my favorite products. And so if you are building a product and you want to validate your idea, so I think a couple of things you need to do. First of all, you need to really understand what kind of problem that you are trying to solve. This is like the first step in validating your idea. Until and unless you have a clear understanding of what problem you are trying to solve, no matter what you do, you'll not be able to validate your idea. As I said earlier also, most of the time we are in love with a solution, but totally ignore the problem. So jot down on paper what exactly you're trying to solve. And the next thing is to really understand the market and identify the users that are going to use your solution once you build it. You need to really understand what drives your users. Maybe creating a user persona can help, where you are really clear about their needs and requirements, what drives them. And finally, you need to go and talk to your prospective clients or users and see if they really have the problem which you are trying to solve. Another thing is that you can take some cue from the market. If you have a competitor in place, then that's a validation in the first place that what you're trying to solve has a place in the market. So yeah, so these are some of the ways you can validate your ideas.
Right. And you know, what are the questions one should ask to get the right customer feedback for the product that you're building?
So I think a couple of things that you can do once you launch a product and you get customer feedback. So your goal should be to understand whether the product that you have created or developed is serving the customer's need, and whether the feedback that you will get will help you refine your product further, and how satisfied your customers are. So these are some of the goals that you should keep in mind while asking the questions. And some of the questions that you can ask is, and what should we do? Stop doing it. Because at times you give a lot of things to the customers and customers are confused. So probably you should ask them whether whatever that we have provided, whether we should continue doing that or whether we should stop or cut down something. How can we do things better for you? So if you have X product, what more can be done around that so that it can serve you better? And if there is any wish list from the customer side, it's a good start to ask their wish list. And finally, whether the feature is easy to use or not. So these are some of the things that can help you understand whether your product is working for your customers or not.
Okay. And you know, how can product managers make, you know, data-informed decisions? Last couple of years, you know, a lot of data has gotten to, you know, product management. So sure. But do you think you know, a product manager should only look at data to make decisions, or he should go with this gut instinct, you know, and build products?
So I think data is very, very important, not only once you build a product, but even before that, if you can get. So data can be used at any stage of product development. So when you talked about validation of the idea, so essentially you are getting data points from the market, from your users, from your prospective clients or prospective users. And even when you launch your product, it will help you understand what all things are working on and what is not working. So for example, at times when you launch a product, you don't know a lot of things, whether the any feature is working or not, whether the people are using as per your expectations, what kind of platform they are using it, what kind of platform they are not using it. So a lot can be get from that data. So I'll give an example. So suppose you launch a product on say mobile, and you don't know which kind of mobile devices they will use, and which kind of OS they're going to use. So once you launch your product and your users start using it, you'll get a lot of data from any tools, whichever that you use, maybe it's Google Analytics or Mixpanel or whatever that you use. And suppose you get an insight that most of the people are on Android devices, and that too are smartphones. So probably the next version of your product should be geared more towards that segment. And a lot of features that are available on the smartphones can be used to refine your product, and maybe you can create an Android app as well, rather than creating product for all kinds of platforms, which will ultimately waste your resources and nobody is going to use it. So you can optimize your entire product development around that single data point. And similarly, you can have all kinds of data points. Maybe you're getting a lot of feedback from your clients, and that is again a data point for you, and you can get that feedback to refine your product further. So essentially, as a product manager, data is what you eat in your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So you have to use your data to refine not only your product, but your overall business strategy as well. Maybe pricing, maybe the way you serve your customers. Your customers are available. So for example, take an example of an e-commerce. So suppose you get a data that most of your customers are available at home between till 10 a.m. and post 5 p.m. So you have to gear your customer delivery in such a way that people get their package during that time. So, and all these things are not based on gut feeling, but a lot of data is required to take those informed decisions.
Got it. Yeah, yeah, totally makes sense. You know, I think I wanted to point out is, you know, with so many of new products coming in, and, you know, people having attention span worse than that of a goldfish. Yeah, how can product managers influence users' behavior and get them to engage with the product so that they can keep coming back to the product?
Sure. So I think as a product manager, you need to really get into the psyche of the people, and you need to really understand what drives them. Why do they behave, and why do they do what they do? So ultimately, you need to get into the shoes of your customers and understand their motivations, their fear, their likes and dislikes. So I'll give an example. So for example, on your blog or in your podcast, you want to increase the signups so that more and more people come back again and again. So one thing that you can do is you need to really understand what drives them. And social validation is one of the most important way to influence them. So for example, if you on your signup page, if you say that 2,000 people listen to your podcast every month, so that's a social validation. So if I go to your website and I see that 2,000 people are listening, so I'm inclined to add my email on your website so that I get updates as soon as a new podcast is up. So that's one way to influence user behavior. In another case, so for example, for a SaaS product, trust is very, very important. So if you can showcase your clients and their testimonials and what kind of benefit that they're getting by using your SaaS product, you will create a sense of trust. And as a customer, I'll be more inclined to use your product as compared to your competition. And similarly, so the crux is to really understand what drives your behavior. And all these companies like Facebook's and Amazon's, they really understand customers ins and out. So for example, Amazon, as soon as you do something on the website, they will understand your motivations and what are you looking for. So once you go away from the website, you will immediately get a message that you have been looking for this product and there's a great discount available? Why don't you come back again and buy this? So these are small nudges that will keep people coming back to the Amazon website. Similarly, Facebook and Twitter does it in a very, very nice way. So if you upload a picture of your recent trip, and so you'll always get some excitement as soon as you get a notification that somebody has liked it. So it's like a feedback loop and excitement that Facebook creates so that people keep on coming back to the website. So, and all this goes back to the behavioral science, and there you need to understand the motivations and the underlying underlying motivations of users, and that's how you will influence their behavior and get them to engage with your product.
Right, and how can product managers create more value for the customer than anyone else?
So I think what I feel is from my own experience that until and unless you don't have empathy for your users, and if you don't really understand your customers well, you'll not be able to create a value. So you need to get into their shoes. You need to think from their perspective. You have to really understand their own pain points. And if you keep on thinking from the business perspective, you may or may not be able to create value. So you have to disengage from your own current situation so that you can engage more with the customers and ultimately create something which can add value to the customer and which ultimately drives value to the business. And that's where the many product managers lack. So I think empathy is one of the best way to create value for the customers.
Right. I really love email marketing. I think one of the best ways to generate money from an online business is by capturing leads. Now, you've written a book on art of email list growth. I can tell the listeners, what are the best way to increase email signups and also to engage with email subscribers? Because, what I've seen over the years is that the open rates and click rates of emails are going down. But how to increase email signups for somebody who is launching a new business, and how do you engage with them?
Sure. So there are two aspects to it. So first is, I think ultimately you have to add value to your users. You have to create lots and lots of value, and then only they'll be able to give their emails to you. And so if you're not providing a great value, be it in terms of content or in terms of the expertise or the kind of solution that they're looking for, you'll not be able to drive your signup rates. So no matter how good is your website, no matter what kind of signups, pop-ups or tools that you use, you'll not be able to drive up your email signups until unless you don't provide right value. So for example, we are having this podcast, and if the people find it useful, they will come back again and again. So the first step is to provide value, and it's up to you to decide how will you provide the value. So some companies provide it through books, through blogs, through podcasts, through expert advice. It can be depending on your business. So first step is provide value. And the next thing is to create an easy way so that people can connect with you. So that's where the tools come in. So it can be a simple pop-up box or a subscription box where you can ask them to sign up. And it can be, so there are a bunch of different techniques to drive that engagement. So there are techniques like welcome mats. I don't know if you've heard about them. So, and then there are pop-up box on the footer, on the header. There are hero units. So there are lots and lots of things. Probably what I can do is I can share a couple of links so that you can share it with your audience. And the third point, which I think missed earlier to communicate, I think the next step is to keep on providing value. Once they give their email, and so because ultimately it's not just about creating your email list, but you have to protect it also. There is a research that after 1 year, your email list is only 75% as good as, 25% will leave you anyhow. So you have to keep on providing value again and again through emails and through right kind of engagement. And you have to keep on working on your email list also. You have to purge your email list. You have to clean up your email list as you move ahead, because at times people change their likes and people change companies, people change their email IDs. Your email list is good. 75% of email list is good for only 1 year. So you have to clean up your email list so that you're not only providing the right value, but to right segment also. Because if people start, marking your emails as spam or they start unsubscribing it, it will going to hurt your reputation of your email and your email domain. So you have to guard your email reputation as well. So if I summarize, you have to first provide the right value. Then you have to provide the right set of tools so that you can get those email IDs. And finally, you have to keep on clearing your email list so that you have the right audience and provide them the right value, and they keep on sharing your website and with their own networks.
Got it. Yeah. So that was a lot of useful information. Now, as I often say, what cannot be measured cannot be managed. Now, there are a lot of important metrics, business-oriented metrics like your lifetime value, cost of acquisition, average revenue per user, NPS score, or your customer success metrics like the feature usage, retention, product usage. So what do you think are the most important metrics you look at in Office, which is a different product than what you used in where you it's a different set of a product that it was different from Naukri and Sendinblue and others. So what is the important metrics which a product manager should look at?
Sure. So at Office, so since it's a real estate business, we sell seats to different companies. So it's a co-working space provider. So we have a different set of metrics as compared to Naukri and Sendinblue, which are totally the online internet products and SaaS products. So at Office, essentially since we are selling a seat, so our one metric is number of seats days sold. So this is one metric that we track very closely. So we have 20,000 seats pan India, and each seat is available on a daily, weekly, or monthly basis. So essentially, we track seats sold on a per day basis. So that's one metric. And apart from that, then there are a bunch of other metrics like from a customer's satisfaction perspective, like NPS, Net Promoter Score, that we track, because ultimately we are in a service business. People come and work out of our premises, and we are serving them throughout the day with security solutions, with internet infrastructure, and then there are all kinds of hospitality and housekeeping services that we offer within the premise. So understanding the customer satisfaction is very, very important for us, and we not only track it through Net Promoter Score, but also then there are a bunch of different metrics to understand the usage of various products that we offer and the services that we offer. So these are some of the things that we track at Office, unlike Naukri and Sendinblue, which were pure technology products, and the metrics for them are pretty common, like daily active users or monthly active users and something like that.
Got it. And lastly, I wanted to talk about your book, Product Manager's Bible. Why did you write this book, and how is this book different from other product management books?
Sure. So I think when I started working as a product manager, so I did not find any good books, especially by Indian authors. So mostly they are available from the US market, and even all those books, they were not very practical. So they were more theoretical, and so that was a gap that I found. And what I felt was that if there is a book which can provide a lot of examples and practical, some kind of project, and where there's a lot of crowdsourced wisdom from other product managers, then I think that would really help people who want to move into product management, as well as people who want to go deeper into product management. And so that was the whole idea behind this. What I've tried to do is I've tried to keep it very, very practical. There's a lot of project help available. I've also interviewed a lot of product managers from across the world. So there's a hands-on advice from successful product managers from various companies, big, small startups, big, or companies like Google, Facebook, eBay. So that will really help people understand product management from ins and out. It has been written in a very simple language. And also one of the goal of this book was to help me showcase as an expert in product management. So I think these were the two goals which helped propelled me to write this product manager's bible, and it's going to be launched in a couple of weeks from now.
Sure, we'll put that in the show links. Let's quickly do the top three. What's your favorite business book?
So I think Rework by Jason Fried is one of my all-time favorite.
Got it. And you know, if you could go back in time when you had started working in product management, what is the one thing you would have focused on?
So I think, so when I started, I did not have that much understanding of the way product management works, and I was relying more on the gut feeling. So I think when I look back, I should have started focusing on the data. So now that I have learned the tricks of the game, so I rely heavily on data. But a couple of years back when I started, I was not that much comfortable with the data. I did not understand how to get insights from the data. So probably this is the learning, and I should have focused on that.
Right. And what's your favorite online tools, example, Gmail or Slack?
So I think I use Trello very frequently. It helps me keep organized. I keep all my projects, personal projects, at least short-term and long-term in Trello. So even this book is planned through Trello. So I keep all my notes as well as to-do list in Trello. So it really helps me, and it's one of my favorite tools.
Sure. And what is the best way people can reach out to you and buy your book, The Product Manager's Bible?
Sure. So book would be available on my website, growthvarsity.com. So I'll share the links. And I can be reached on LinkedIn as well as on my Gmail ID. It's very simple, lokeshgupta15@gmail.com. And I'll be happy to answer any questions, or I can, if somebody is looking for any help in product management or even outside the product management field, I'll be really happy to answer questions.
Right, Lokesh, I learned a lot about product management. Thank you for coming onto the show. I really appreciate it.
Sure, Rohit, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Life Self Mastery podcast, where we teach you how to start and grow your online business. For more information, visit Rohit's blog at www.lifeselfmastery.com.